2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Excuse me. First one. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from the God and Father and the Lord Jesus. We ought always to give thanks for you, brothers, as is only fitting because your faith is greatly enlarged. So something's happened with them. And it's not like the numbers aren't enlarged, but what he's talking about is that their faith has grown. They're maturing. Something's happening with them that's measurable. So we want to give thanks for you. It's only fitting. And I like the way he says it here, because he said, it's only fitting that we do this. And then later on, he says, we always do it. Paul's kind of that way. But it's only fitting because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you towards one another grows even greater. Now, that's quite a thing to be said, because he's not talking about how good they are to people out there. He's talking about how much they love each other within the family, within the congregation, within the community. And how many of you know, don't raise your hand, because somebody might think that you're talking about them. But how many of you know sometimes it's really hard to love people that you have to see all the time? Yeah, because people that you work with every day, every once in a while, they rub you the wrong way. And now you probably return the favor and rub them the wrong way. But you understand what I'm saying? He says, what's remarkable about this is that you guys really like each other. And it's increasing. There's something here. There's a maturation to it. There's a solidarity to you guys loving each other that you can kind of, you've grown and learned to expect it, and rightfully so. And he's saying that because he doesn't see that happen with everybody everywhere. And you say, well, they didn't have church splits in those days. Right. I'll just leave that one alone. But the love of you towards one another grows even greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly among the other churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions. So they like each other better and get along with each other better, even when it's not going tip-top. When it's not, you know, when you're trying not to sell the building or trying to sell the building, it doesn't matter. Something has happened there that the vertical connection is so good that the horizontal connections are wonderful. And so when you've got it going with the Father, it's much easier to have it going with the family. And he says, this is happening so much so when I go to other places, I brag about you guys. So don't mess it up. He's really saying that. You got to make this work because I'm telling people, it's working. I want you guys to be like those guys. He doesn't say that to every church. So I think this is pretty significant. And it's in the midst of all their persecutions and afflictions which you endure. And I'd like to put a different word in there. If I was Paul and I was trying to encourage him, I'd say, yeah, and this is in the midst of all those things, I'm going to help you escape. But he doesn't say escape, he says endure. I've looked at that means in, duh. It's just not fun. It's difficult, and you're in it. The endurance is required. That's how you're making it. Is that you haven't quit. You haven't given up. You haven't said, well, yeah, but weren't we doing this 6 months ago? No, the idea is the mercies of the Lord are fresh every morning. And that's how you make it through endurance, is the mercies of God being fresh every morning. And he says, well, would this ever end? Yeah. When? Tune in next week. It doesn't say when. He's eternal. It doesn't mean the troubles have to be eternal, but he's eternal, so he's going to be around long enough to get you through what you need to endure. And when you get to the end of it and you look back, you'll think, huh, maybe that wasn't so bad. But, you know, don't you know, I mean, haven't you ever had something finally get over and then you realized how bad it was? Man, this thing weighed 90 pounds. I feel like, well, how do we do that? Well, now the answer is, who cares?
Right.
We're here. We made it. We did it. And that's kind of what he's telling them. This endurance thing is significant. And here's Paul, who probably carries as much weight, authority, and that kind of stuff as anybody on the earth at that moment. And he's not saying, well, man, if I was there and I could lay hands on you, it'd all be better. No, he's saying, oh, God's empowering you to endure. And I always tell this story. Mike and I was having breakfast with Mike and a friend of his who's a prophetic guy from down under. And I spent a week with the Lord just off in a little cheap motel. Nobody could see me and knew where I was. And all the time there, I said, Lord, I know this is going on, this is going on, this is going on. But I'm about ready for this endurance thing to be over. Just between you and me. And so if we can make that happen, that'd be great. I mean, I'll stick around if it doesn't, but come on. And so the day after that was over, I walked into Cracker Barrel. And first thing, I sit down and, you know, meet the guy, Peter, and hi, and he goes, I think the Lord has a word for you. And I said, what's that? John, you have need of endurance. And I said, I don't want any. Wasn't asking for any. Not looking for any. And I thought, okay. And he was right. I mean, he was right. And I wasn't like kicking and screaming, but I was ready to shift gears. You know, I was looking for overdrive, not over and over, overdrive. And it wasn't happening. I thought that was so cool that the Lord would be so kind to me when the time I was with him and not chew me out and then just have it ready for me when I got there. So endurance isn't a bad thing. Well, that means I have to keep putting up with this. Yeah, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Amen. And you don't know what interior decorating is happening. And if you don't respond correctly, then you may have to go through the decoration again. Not only that, you don't know what person that maybe has been causing you some difficulty is about to come to some cathartic experience with God, and everything's going to change. So Paul's saying, good for you guys. You've hung in there. You keep doing it. So keep going. And your keep going-ness, verse 5, this is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, which indeed you are for which you are suffering. So he's saying, this is a kingdom thing. For after all, it's only just for God to repay with affliction those who inflict you. Now, he's saying, yeah, so pretty soon you're going to be the biggest guy on the block and you're going to knock their block off. It's not about retribution. It's not about revenge. It's really about revival. It's about him stirring and moving upon us to have the right responses. For the kingdom of God, for which you are in suffering, after, that means like after, for after all, it's only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Wow. I mean, he's not talking about 4th July here. This is the coming of the Lord. Dealing out retribution to those who don't know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction, not temporary difficulty, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes to be glorified in his saints. We'll talk about, just touch that again. When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at all who have believed for our testimony to you who believe. So Paul's telling them, guys, there's a blessing coming here. So don't quit. And then he says, but I know how deeply persecuted and afflicted your time has been. He says, I get it. I'm not here to change it. I'm here to tell you he gets it. And you want him to do something about it. You don't want to take it into your own hands and try to fix it. Verse 5 in the Amplified says, this is positive proof of the just and right judgment of God to the end that you may be deemed deserving of his kingdom, a plain token of his fair verdict, which designs you that you should be made and counted worthy of the kingdom of God. In other words, you do what you're supposed to do. Keep your nose clean. Keep your hand to the plow. And the Lord's going to do something. He's going to do something because you have believed in him. Amen. He says, so For those of you who are suffering, it's a fair decision, since it's righteous, a righteous thing with God to repay with distress and affliction those who distress and afflict you. He gets it. He knows who the enemy is. Now, the enemy probably isn't who they think the enemy is, but the enemy is using those people to cause trouble for the church in Thessalonica. So, he also says, oh, by the way, and this is really pretty interesting, Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
That's what he tells them. Jesus is coming back. And he didn't give them a date, didn't say buy a ticket, but he's saying, don't forget, Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, oh, man. This thing's going the other way. And so don't lose sight of that. Then he says in verse 10, when he comes to be glorified in his saints, on that day he will be made more glorious in his consecrated people. He's saying, when I come, part of the way that I get glorified is it's coming through you. I'm going to be glorified in the saints, in the believers. When I come, wow. What's going to happen? Well, it you however you want to say it, but he's going to come and do the thing. And if you're alive when it happens, there's that catching up thing. And boy, look out! And we're going to see him, and we're going to know him because we're going to see him like he is. And he's going to be glorified in us. And do you notice he's talking about being glorified in us before he ever mentions about God glorifying him? This is strong. He's going to do something, and we're not going to be left out. I love that. When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, he'll be made more glorious in his consecrated people. In, not like around, in. And he will be marveled at and admired in his glory being reflected in all who have believed, who have adhered and trusted him, and relied on him, because our witnessing among you was confidently accepted and believed and confirmed in your lives. He's saying, you guys that got saved and who are saved, he's going to come and do stuff. It's going to blow people away. Not just people who aren't saved, but people who are saved. They're going to say, Brown, is that you? I mean, really? What? How? Who? How in the world did this happen? Oh, it didn't happen in this world. This is supernatural, man. This is the expression of the character and power and glory of the Lord in his people and among his people. Now, it also says people are going to go, oh, my goodness. And they will be witnessed to again. But he's saying everybody that's believed, everybody that came to the Lord, it's going to be this wow expression. Then he says, I'm building this up. Can you tell what I'm doing? I'm trying to make this is a big deal. Now look what he says, verse 11. With this in view, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may deem and count you worthy of your calling and his every gracious purpose, goodness, and with power may complete you in your every particular work of faith and the leaning of your whole personality on God, and your trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Phew. He says, with this in mind, we always pray for you, because I know I've been up there. He has. Paul has. Boom. Got stoned to death and came back and all that. He said, I kind of got an idea what's going to happen. And you guys believe it, but you're not going to believe what you believe. This is bigger than Michael Jordan's newest basketball shoe. I mean, this is going to steal everybody's affection and attention. And he said, and we're praying for you because we want to make sure that the Lord squeezes every drop of glory into you like you've squeezed every drop of belief in him. Isn't that cool? He says, and we constantly do it. We don't fail, he says, to pray for you because we know what this part of the end is going to be like. And I just look at that and I think, wow. It says it this way in the NLT, the New Living Translation. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people. And you go, well, who's that? Well, that's us. Well, what if we don't act like holy people? That's going to change. He'd like to do some changing along the way, but praise from all who believe. And this includes you, for you believed what we told you about him. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all good things your faith prompts you to do. And then name in the name of our Lord Jesus, who will be honored because of the way you live. He'll be honored because of the way you live. That's a big deal. And you will be honored along with him. So he's going to be honored, and he's going to be in you gloriously, and you're going to be honored. This is all made possible because of the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I love the way he makes that. Here's the recipe. Here's the deal. And then, New American Standard. And this is the part some years ago that grabbed me. When he comes to be glorified in his saints, you just can't miss that. Glorified in his saints. So it's not just something exploding in the sky or happening on YouTube. This is an absolutely captivating experience. When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed. Everybody that's a believer is going to see this and go, I had no idea it was going to be a thing this good. No idea it was going to be this fabulous. No idea that, wow, transformation is going to happen, and it's going to be, I'm thinking it's long blonde hair and six-pack abs. And all that, but I have that on imperfect information. But there's going to be such a glorious change. It'll just be so, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And you'll be right. That's exactly what it'll be. But it will be in each of us, in all of us. So Paul's saying, yeah, I know, you're grinding through the grind. You're going through the tough time, dog days of summer, you know, whatever that is. Don't quit, because you've got to see where this thing's going. And it's not all downhill. So he says, to this end, we always pray for you that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. I'm telling you, if you don't know how to pray for yourself or you don't know what to pray for somebody, this is why we're talking about this. This nobody doesn't need what I'm talking to you about right here. Nobody. To this end, we also pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him. Two purposes. So the Lord will be glorified in you and you in him. I'll pound that a little bit in a minute, but so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, I want God to count you worthy of your calling. I picked one. 1 Peter chapter 1, I wrote it down. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen, called, according to the foreknowledge of God by the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus and be sprinkled with his blood. So he says, you're chosen, you're called. What? To obey Jesus and be sprinkled with his blood. To be cleansed by him and empowered by him to do the stuff that he knew that he had for you to do, that he had figured out before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 2:10. He said, so I'm praying that you don't let anything keep you from fulfilling why he made choice of you. And one of his choices was to empower you to obey him. I'm telling you, I read that the first time, I about jumped out of my shoes. Because what he was saying is, he chose me. Well, I certainly wasn't in any mode to choose him. He chose me and then drew me to himself so I could choose him. And when I did, part of that choice was a calling, an empowerment to obey. Well, he had to do that because I wasn't going to make any choices on my own to obey. But you're chosen to obey. Well, I don't know if I can do that or not. It's 50-50. I mean, it is. Every time. I mean, this is, the Lord just said, you've always got a shot. You've always got a shot because I chose you to. And if you'll cooperate with it, you always got it.
Yeah.
And I just thought, that's amazing. Because even if I missed it half the time, that's 500. That's Hall of Fame stuff. And that's what I told myself. That's, you do. I mean, that's Hall of Fame stuff. I have a chance always to agree with him and choose what he chose me for. Paul said, I want to apprehend that which I've been comprehended for. And that's what he's saying here. So Paul says, we always pray for you guys that you'll get what he set aside for you to do. You'll make the choice that he empowered you, died for you to make, which is to obey. And then he says, and be sprinkled with his blood. So like if you don't make the right choice, there's opportunity for forgiving and cleansing, and you can go on. That's amazing, isn't it? This is really good stuff to pray over people. So I really did. I prayed this for several years. Every time I baptized somebody, I prayed the heart of this verse over them. Didn't argue if people wanted to pray for me that way either. But he said, we're praying that you will get the fullness of his calling of you. And then he describes that. Peter describes this in a way that I think is extra good. Because Peter goes on to say, you got to understand, guys, he caused you to be born again. Huh? No, he caused you. You can't come unless you're drawn. So he put stuff in your life to turn your head. There's the Holy Spirit wink, you know, it kind of gets your attention. And then there's a luring effect. There's reason to. There's problems. Maybe they're not. They're maybe just so blessed you can't realize, oh my goodness, there's more than this. But he says, he's caused you to be born again by his great mercy. See, that takes the you-ness out of it. I was talking to somebody the other day. Yeah, but I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this. And I said, yeah, I kind of did too. Well, where's that put you? And I said, right in his palm of his hand where my name is written. My name is written on the palm of his hand, yours too. And I said, listen, if you're going to keep score playing salvation, you're going to lose. Because what he did outdoes everything you didn't do. Or everything you did. Well, that means I can do anything I want. I said, no, because one of the first things I learned, and I just never could have imagined it, but the Holy Spirit is absolutely perfect at changing your want-tos. Now, he doesn't manipulate you. He will not violate your free will. But man, he'll massage that old one. You can be renewed in the spirit of your mind to make the kind of choices that please him. It's not nearly as hard doing what he wants when you want what he wants. And I couldn't believe that. I told my wife, I don't get this stuff. I mean, I was going to church and not complaining. And church, and I couldn't, no desire. No, nothing tantalizing in that for me. That'd be like the biggest can of hominy in the world to me. No desire, didn't look good, didn't taste good, tried that, no thank you. And now my wife thinks I live here, you know. So. But the issue is, when you give him permission to become your Lord, then you submit your choices to him. Amen. You still can make any choice you want.
Amen.
That's part of the problem. That's somebody told me, too bad God doesn't make robots. And I said, yeah, today would be a really good day where it's just, oh, danger, Will Robinson, you know, I'm going over here. But he makes, see, you can't worship without will. You have to have will to worship. And so he has to grant us free will because there's nothing glorifying God if you robotically say, Lord, you are wonderful, you are beautiful. No, worship is, my personal response to the presence of God in the moment. In the moment. And when I figured that out, I mean, I don't even know how I'd figured it out, but when I figured it out, I thought, oh, this is cool. I'm making a choice. Well, never in my life did I stand up in a building at 9 in the morning and start shouting good things about God. That had never happened. But now I was doing it every week and kind of liking it. So the idea is here, Paul's saying, I want everything that he packed in there for you to get. I want you to have it. But not just that. I want the work of faith with power. Now this intrigued me because I knew one of the things I saw lacking in the church, and not just ours, every, was the power of God. We need the power of God. Jesus came to do what? Tell the devil, no, you really shouldn't do that. No, he came to destroy the works of the enemy. Well, you got to outpower the power that's causing the trouble. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Am I right? It's the work of faith with power. And how does faith work? Through love. The Bible says faith works through love. This, now it's getting catchy. now there's a lot of elements in here. He says, no, I want you guys to be loved the way he chose you so you can love him the way he chose you to. So your capacity to believe him is increased because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you hear that thing in your heart, you've got prompting to do it, power to do it. And the result is gratitude. Lord, I don't know how that happened. Thank God you did that through me. Right? So it's, I want the purposes of God, but I want the power of God to perform the purposes of God. And we trip on that once in a while. I mean, I hate when I see stuff in the Bible that is an expression of the power of God, and I don't see it as much in my own expression of Christianity. And I'm not going to lie to you. I've had some crazy stuff happen that the only answer is that God did it, okay? But that's not everything that ever came out of my mouth or everything I ever touched. So I think there are levels. And what do you want? I want what Paul's praying for these guys. I want this idea of being called, being chosen, being his being ours, to be a reality. And then he wants this work of faith with power to be experientially ours, not just theologically. Probably needs to be there theologically first. And he says, then, as a result, I want to see the name of Jesus glorified in you. In you. Well, what's that mean? Well, I looked that you thing up, and I was in the mirror, but so were you. He has things that he has planned for us. He has experiences and expressions of his heart and life that those around us get Bible because they get us. Those around us get Jesus because they get us. And we get to be those who bring glory and honor to his name. And then he says, I want this all to happen. It's all by grace and mercy. So let me read this to you from an Old Testament point of view. And I really like this. I was innocently teaching my way through Ezekiel. That's a hard book to teach, by the way. Hard to be concrete. But I was teaching through Ezekiel. It was in chapter 36. And if you read the whole couple of three chapters there, you know, over and over and over, and I'm not reading it yet because I'm just going to, this is a story. So he says, listen, you guys, speaking to Israel, have done nothing but profane my name everywhere you go. And I did not know this, but I pounded on that, you know. And I didn't know this, but there was a person in a congregation who the Lord had been working with about not cussing. And I wasn't talking about profanity. Profaning his name had to do with selling him short, expressing him other than as he is, and given his enemies reason to taunt him. You know, stuff you put up, if it's a football game, you put that up on the bulletin board so you can say, you know, we're going to take these guys out because they did this. And after I got done, and I wasn't, never had that as a thought, a lady came up to me and said, okay, I give up. I was, what are you giving up? She said, you just said profane his name, profane his name, profane his name. I said, well, it's in the book. I mean, yeah. And she quit cussing. I thought, that's so cool, isn't it? Now, Was that why I was doing that? No, but he had something chosen for her that didn't fit. And here I'm talking about something totally different. I'm talking about when God comes and glorifies himself in his people. And I said, yeah, maybe that's just like an anti-glorification when you do that. Anyway, easy to see. But so he can use this New Testament section that Paul has, and he can use this thing in Ezekiel 36 to prove to you how important it is and how real this is, that he wants to bring glory to himself and his son by touching us. Ezekiel 36:22, therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for my holy name. So let's get this thing straight. Which you have profaned among the nations where you went, but I will vindicate the holiness of my great name. Wow. He's going to vindicate the holiness of his great name. And when he says his name is great, I'm telling you, he's talking, there ain't anything greater. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I'm the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. He's going to convince people who don't believe, nations that don't believe, because of what he does in and among us, in their sight. Because when you mess up, you know, imagine that you have messed up, or take the last time that you did. It's always in front of the wrong person, isn't it? The person you've been praying for, or you're wanting to prove that you care about them, or the, you know, that the Lord's after them, or whatever. And he says, you've done it. You have profaned me among them that you know. And I will, declares the Lord, prove myself holy among you in their sight. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the lands and bring you to your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. There's the cleansing. And you'll be clean. And I will cleanse you from all filthiness and from all your idols. Have you ever read the Old Testament? And see how many idols and mess ups and worshiping gods that aren't gods that his people got involved in? He said, oh, I'm going to clean all that up. I'm doing it. I'll be the cleaner. You'll be the cleanee. That's how it's going to work. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God. Pretty cool. So he says, I'm going to do this even though you've acted unholy amongst your friends. In their sight. So he says, I'm going to gather you. I'm going to cleanse you completely. No idols. I'm going to give you a new heart. No more hard hearts. And you know, a hard heart is one that does not have the fear of the Lord. That's how the Bible describes it. So there's going to be a reverential respect for God and his power and his presence in his people. And oh, by the way, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm going to give you my heart because you're going to be mine and I'm going to be yours. Now, this is Ezekiel writing this hundreds and hundreds of years before Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, but it's the same thing. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm coming, and I'm going to come, and it's going to be my taking place in you and among you. Wow. And the church becomes a bulldozer with the 426 Hemi. This is going. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for this choice of God. I'm going to read this to us one more time, and I'm going to pray it over us. When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, to be marveled among all those who have believed for our testimony, you believed. To this end, we also pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of the Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him. Can you just put your hand on your heart or something like this? I love what he tells Jeremiah. Jeremiah hears from God and he speaks back. He says, oh Lord, watch over your word and perform it. We don't just want to hear it, we want to be changed by it. To this end, Lord, we're praying for to you today that you will count each of us worthy of your calling, that you will fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. That means every time the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something and you have a desire to do it, you believe it's him, that prompting will turn into an empowerment and it will result in the work of faith with power. Lord, would you come and rest upon us today? We're looking for something that we can count on as real and true. I want to say the prayer that you had. You told Paul to pray this over the church in Thessalonica. That means it counts for us as well. Lord, would you cause us to know that all these things that you've called us for and to, and then would you regenerate the zeal for the Lord of hosts in us so that we get involved in the work of faith with power. Recognize that you're upon us and within us, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we will see sicknesses kicked in the teeth, bad familial situations healed. We'll see financial issues healed. Lord, that there could be that issue of what do I do next? What's my next step? And there'll be that prompting and revelation to say, this is what I have for you because it lines up with my destiny for you. The work of faith with power. Jesus came and destroyed all the works of the enemy. He said he came to set free all of those who were oppressed by the enemy. Lord, that doesn't just come by wishful thinking. There is an empowerment of the Spirit of God that makes us capable to partnering with you to see those things take place. Lord, this has always been there for your church. We want to see it activated. That's why he prayed over the Thessalonians. Let this be real. They're having trouble. It's not the greatest day they ever had. Lord, there's some persecution. There's some afflictions. There's some answers that haven't come yet. There's some problems that haven't got solved yet. And Lord, you know how to get involved in that way. Prompt us in the right way so we have the right response and we come to the right conclusion. Work of faith with power. The mercy and grace of God upon us in such a fashion that we do with you what you want done with us. Just soak in that for a minute. Lord, we want you to prove yourself holy among us in the sight of those who need you. May you grant us capacity to be worthy of your calling. May you fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power so that Jesus can be glorified in us and us glorified in him. We bless you, Lord. I keep having a picture of something not quite coming together. It's like if this pew was not quite in line, but I could push it one way or another and it would find a slot and link up. And then he'd be in his exact right position. I don't know if that's something physically wrong in somebody's body. I don't know if that's a question that's not answered or just a conundrum that you haven't been able to overcome and you just need that to happen. Think so? Okay. I was going to say shoulders. So you were. Yeah. Anybody having a problem like that in like your shoulder, your neck, or John? Cool. Anybody else having a situation like that where it's physically not right, it's not fitting together well? And yeah, you can move and get around, but it's not, full body. There's a couple, there's three. Would you, those of you who've raised your hand, would you mind just stepping out into the aisle so we could get to you and pray for you? Would you, if you wouldn't, if that's okay? So step out into the aisle so we can see. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 right here, maybe 5. So I need some prayer people to gallop over there. Surround them if we can. Kurt, would you mind coming and tell me what you just told me earlier?
So a lot of times the Lord will do something for someone, and then when they share that, he does the same thing for other people. So for the last 4 or 5 months, my left shoulder has been like almost inoperable. I couldn't raise it. I couldn't lift anything with it. It was hurting constantly. And then last week, I was just sitting in my recliner, and I had my hands up over my head, and I just brought them down like this. Not hard. I just put them on the edge of the chair, and it went pop, 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 and then no pain. I could lift things with it, and no pain at all. So if any of you are having any kind of shoulder problems, I believe the Lord's going to touch it this morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Some weeks ago, the Lord showed me a picture about a shoulder, and I gave a word about it. And I got at least 4 people that day, before the day was over, pain all gone, freedom to move. And so I wasn't seeing it. I couldn't quite figure out what it was, but I could feel it. So Holy Spirit, we ask for you to come and drop on, just fall on each person. And I prayed for, if there's a couple of people that didn't know whether or not they should get up, I pray you come and land on them as well. I pray for people who are live streaming with us. If there's somebody who says, well, I got that. Lord, would you just extend your touch to them? Lord, I pray that you would do something today that just settles it. Regardless if it's neck, back, shoulder, that you would just settle it. That you would just like, we could feel that thing snap into place. It's like, check the box. Come, Lord. Thank you, Father. Work of faith with power. Come, Lord. Now, done this enough, if you're having a difficulty in the neck or the shoulder or whatever, don't be impatient in this sense. It's been out of place and out of joint, so it's probably going to be some soreness there, but the place of pain can be gone with the soreness still being there because you've been carrying it the wrong way. So you might want to give it a few hours for that part of it. Because it's sore because you've been leaning on it the wrong way. But that doesn't mean something hasn't happened. Breathe on His breath of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being responsive. Sometimes it takes a little courage to say, yeah, I'll get up and do that. So God bless you for doing that. Well, we have this meal today. And so if you have children, would you go get your kids and take them to the dining area, please, Fellowship Hall? I want to give you a chance to go first and get the kids lined up. We'll wait a few minutes and then I'll dismiss everybody else. So please make the decision to stay with us. If you got to go, you got to go, but we'd love to have you stay. I know that we're coming up to kind of a national holiday, a big one, 250th anniversary, and I've been paying a little bit of attention to what's happening in other parts of the country and that kind of stuff. But Lord, we just want to simply say, God bless America. Lord, with all of the wonderful things we as a country have done, we've sent more missionaries in 250 years than the rest of the world. The United States is always the first country to send, you know, financial aid and food and all that kind of stuff. And then sometimes, too, as a country, we just act like a bunch of idiots. I mean, there's just it's a lot to be forgiven for. But, Lord, would you cause your hand to rest upon this country? And, Lord, we want to pray for the president. We want to pray for the governors. We want to pray for all of those in the Senate and the House. But, Lord, today specifically, I think what's going to heal our land is the power of God. So would you come on every church and every Christian, every person who genuinely knows you, that they would pursue you, they would be in hot pursuit of you, and that we would not be willing not to have a move of God unless you just say not now. I mean, we're going to yield to your sovereignty. Other than that, come Holy Spirit, come Lord, and like Isaiah says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. We want to see that supernaturalness of your goodness and your greatness expressed in hearts and hands. And Lord, we would love to see not the floods of rivers, but the flood of people turning and returning to the Lord. And Lord, we just bring the church to the pump and say, fill her up. Cause your life to be real and powerful in us and among us in ways that we can say, this is what we have been looking for. I don't know if 250 means anything in the heavens about that. I mean, there wouldn't be an America if it wasn't you for you. But Lord, what you would like to do to crown that 250 years, we'd say, so let it be, Lord Jesus. Amen. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.